Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to raise your hand if you have to answer yes to this question. Have you ever misplaced your cell phone? Good, I'm not the only one. Well, I haven't misplaced my phone as many times as I've misplaced my glasses. But unlike my glasses, which I buy in multi-packs at Walmart, I only have one cell phone. So to find it, I do what you probably do, right? I ask someone, usually my wife, to call me, and then I walk around the house or the office or out in the car listening for the ring, or if I'm really unlucky, trying to detect that little buzz because I put it on silent. That's sort of what we have going on here in our Old Testament lesson. We read in verse 1, "The word of the Lord was rare in those days." It was as if God's word had been lost. But unfortunately, the reality was much worse. Those who were charged with bringing God's word to his people knew where it was, but they chose not to listen to it. Both the civil and the religious leaders didn't want to be troubled by God's word because they didn't want to be held accountable to him. And because they didn't fulfill their duties, the Lord was rarely heard. That man, identified as Eli in that reading, was the high priest of Israel. It was his responsibility to see that the worship life of Israel conformed to God's instructions, in particular, the sacrifices in the tabernacle. But in the chapter just prior to our text, we're told that Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas — Janet, I wish we'd had another boy, we could have named him Hophni or Phinehas, that would have been great — Hophni and Phinehas abused their authority. They treated the women who came to them with their sacrifices much like, well, unfortunately, much like men that we've heard about recently in the news. And as they conducted their other duties, instead of following the instructions that the Lord had laid out for them, they used their position as priests for their own personal advantage. As you can imagine, this was having a negative effect on the people they were supposed to be serving. And although Eli tried to correct them, they wouldn't listen. His warnings were too little, too late. You know, sadly, it isn't unusual for people in positions of influence and leadership to serve their own self-interests instead of faithfully carrying out their duties. We see that today in business, politics, and many other areas of our society. And when that happens, it never really leads to anything good. But it's especially serious when those charged with leading God's people refuse to listen to his voice, because they aren't only endangering God's people physically or materially, they're endangering them spiritually. And that's what we see in our reading. As God spoke to Samuel, the boy ran to Eli, thinking the priest was calling him. And verse 7 reveals why Samuel was so naive. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him." Samuel had grown up in the house of the high priest himself, and yet he had not been taught God's word. He didn't know God's voice because he had never been taught what to listen for. Now, has this ever happened to you? You're watching TV, or you're reading a book, or you're working on something that requires a fair amount of concentration, and your spouse or your child begins talking. And what you hear is wah, 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 right? And as they talk, you mumble, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, until finally they do what? They say, "You aren't listening to a word I'm saying." Now, I can't remember if it was Lucas or Paul. I don't think it was Stephen. Janet will tell me later. But one of them was sitting on Janet's lap, and they were chatting at her. And he must have sensed that she wasn't really engaged, because he put his hands on her cheeks and pulled her head and demanded, "Mommy, listen to me with your eyes. When students in a high school appreciation class were asked the difference between listening and hearing, one of the students responded by saying this, "Listening is wanting to hear." That's what I think Jesus meant when he said on a number of occasions, "He who has ears, let him hear." God gave us two ears, but only one mouth. And I'm sure you've heard this before. Some make the point that's because he wanted us to spend twice as much time listening as talking. And others say it's because Jesus knew listening was twice as hard as talking. Now that may be true, but it doesn't matter how much we listen if we don't really want to hear what's being said. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never heard God speak audibly. But that doesn't mean he isn't speaking. He speaks very clearly in his word. But have you ever found yourself sitting in church, listening, or reading the Bible, and then suddenly realized you're not really engaged, that you're not really paying attention to what's being said? Hearing God's word, reading God's word, is hearing him speak. And sometimes it takes a little effort. Just like Samuel, God is speaking to us today, but are we hearing him? Are we paying attention? Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And can we say the same? In his autobiography, Billy Graham writes about how he wrestled with really hearing what God was saying in his early years. When he started out in 1949 as an evangelist, he had no idea that he was about to be catapulted into worldwide fame and influence. Ironically, at this very same time, he found himself struggling with God's call on his life. And the fundamental issue that he was dealing with was putting his trust that the Bible was really God's word. A friend of his, Chuck Templeton, was attending Princeton Theological Seminary. There, he was influenced by the theological thinking of the day, and he told Graham, "Billy, you're 50 years out of date. People no longer accept that the Bible is divinely inspired the way you do. Your faith is too simple. Your language is out of date. You're going to have to learn a new jargon if you're going to be successful in your ministry." Templeton was quoted later as saying, "Poor Billy, I feel sorry for him. He and I are taking two different roads." He had no idea how prophetic those words would be. Now, Graham said that about that time, "I wasn't exactly doubtful, but I was certainly disturbed." But he didn't give up on God's word. He read, he prayed, he pondered as he listened for the voice of God. And he had to admit he couldn't answer many of the theological or philosophical questions that Templeton and others raised. And he later wrote, "I was trying to be honest with God, but something remained unspoken. But at last, the Holy Spirit freed me to articulate it. I simply said, 'Father, I'm going to trust that this is your word. I'm going to put faith beyond my intellectual questions and doubts. I will trust that you are speaking to me here.'" He said that that was a pivotal moment. In the years that followed, he became one of the most persuasive and effective evangelists of modern times. In fact, one of the most admired people in the world. And while we might disagree with some of his theology, he held fast to the truth that the Bible is God's inspired word, that Jesus alone is the way of salvation. Graham, like Samuel, simply said, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." Sadly, that wasn't the case for Chuck Templeton. In 1996, he published a book titled "Farewell to God: My Reasons for Rejecting the Christian Faith." 4 years later, I don't know if you know the name Lee Strobel, but Lee Strobel wrote a number of books. As he was doing research for his book, The Case for Faith, Templeton granted him an interview in which he vigorously defended his disavowal of God and his rejection of the Bible. But when Strobel asked him specifically about Jesus, he said Templeton's body language softened. And in a rather poignant section of his book, he writes, "As Templeton answered questions about Jesus Christ, his voice took on a melancholy and reflective tone, and I quietly said, 'You sound like you really care about him.' Templeton said, 'Well, yes, he's the most important thing in my life.' And then he stammered, I adore him. Everything good I know, everything decent I know, everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus.' And then he said that Templeton's voice began to crack as he said, 'And I miss him.' And he burst into tears. We're in that season of Epiphany, a season when we consider how God revealed or manifested himself most clearly in his Son. Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, is speaking. He's speaking to you and to me right now at the heart of our faith. And he's asking us to test our plans, test our dreams, not by the philosophies of this world, but by his Word. Do you have ears to hear? Are you listening for what he is saying? Are we listening?" When he became frustrated, or when he wasn't exactly certain what to do, that great philosopher, Popeye the Sailor, would simply say, "I am what I am, and that's all what I am." What he seemed to be saying with those words is, hey, don't get your hopes up too much. Don't expect too much. What you see is what you get. I am what I am, and that's it. In Samuel's time, the people of Israel seemed to be saying the same thing. This is the way it is. This is all we are. What does it matter? Who cares? But God loved them too much to leave them that way. Through Samuel, God called them to a new beginning. Today, God's telling you that he has a new beginning for you in his Son. Jesus came into our world to change the rules. Before he came, death reigned supreme. No one had ever defeated that great monster. But in his rising, Jesus Christ conquered death, and he now calls you and me to a new life, a new beginning, each and every day. As Solomon reflected on his sinfulness, he didn't despair, but he wrote this, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Have you ever done things that you're ashamed of? Have you ever done something that you feel God could never forgive? You ever feel unloved? And do you wonder if it's possible for a new start? Listen. God is speaking. He says, "You're mine. You are loved. I'm with you always. I came and I gave my life for you. And in my word, I'm telling you that I will never give up on you." A boy lost a valuable watch in his classroom, and he searched for it, carefully combing through the desks, but he couldn't find it. And he finally gave up, and he and all the rest of his classmates left the room, but one of his friends held back. And not long after, he delivered the watch to the young boy. And amazed, the boys asked him how he found it. He said, "Well, I closed the door, I laid down on the floor, and I kept very still, and in the silence, I finally heard the watch ticking." God's word of hope, forgiveness, and mercy comes new to you and me each and every day. And it's time for us to listen. It's time for us to hear that word and let it really direct our lives. You know, often the question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we're being still enough, quiet enough, patient enough to hear. Amen.